On behalf of the Jackson family and the Lougheed family, may I say thank you for coming to share in this celebration of Ruth's life. In honor of Ruth and her family as they enter this auditorium this afternoon, I'm inviting you to stand with me as we join together in singing "Great is Thy Faithfulness" together. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing that great song? It is number 139 in your hymn book, 139. Dear people, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, this afternoon as we gather to celebrate the life of one of your children, I thank you, O Lord, for all the precious memories that we have of her. Dear Ruth has been a friend to many, appreciated and loved by so many, and now dearly missed by those even closest to her. But Lord, today, I am trusting that by your Spirit, you will bring grace and strength to every person here, but especially to Richard and Michael and Jill and their families, the brothers and sisters, the nieces and nephews, and to Bertha too. Lord, by your Spirit, may your grace be revealed in special ways today. May you be exalted, because if it wasn't for Jesus, we would have no hope. We would be most miserable today with such a loss. But we look forward to the day when we will see her again. So, Lord, now, have your way among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. My name is Wayne Dahm. I'm the pastor of Congregational Care at Wilmot Center Missionary Church. That's still out near New Hamburg, Kitchener area. I thank you on behalf of Richard and Michael and Jill and the Lougheed and Jackson families for coming to be a part of this celebration of Ruth Elizabeth Lougheed's life. And we also want to exalt the Lord Jesus, whom Ruth loved and served over these past years of her life among us. You know, a funeral not only is a testimony that a death has occurred, but also that a life has truly been lived. Ever since my wife Dale and I were notified that Ruth suddenly went home on Sunday to be with the Lord Jesus, we have been recalling many precious memories of our personal involvement with Ruth and Richard and their family and relatives over the years. Dale would have loved to share something personally, but she's asked me to read it instead. And what I'm about to read are our thoughts together, but many personal thoughts from Dale too. Dale and I first met Ruth and Richard when we began to pastor a church in Barrie in 1972. And from the very beginning, our two families hit it off and thus began a friendship that would last many, many years. Often we would spend Friday evenings together or Sunday dinner after church. Maybe you've heard of their dog, Buffy, that black dog, Buffy. And as soon as I saw Sunday dinner after church, I do recall how Buffy ate the roast one time while they were at church. So after our time in Barrie was over, we began a new church plant down near Sarnia at Brights Grove. And even though we had moved a good 4 hours away from Ruth and Richard, our friendship continued as we would come to Barrie and then later to Collingwood, where they had moved to visit with the Lougheeds. And they in turn would venture down to Brights Grove. Now, while Dale and Ruth would spend the time out together at the stores, which Rich and I totally abhorred, Rich and myself and our two boys, Mark and Steve, and sometimes our son-in-law, Jeff, would head to the golf course, where usually Rich showed us all how to really golf. It was such a privilege and a joy to be able to attend Mike and Jill's wedding and to witness the excitement that Ruth and Rich had over this wonderful occasion. We also remember the happy time when Ruth called us to inform us that a baby boy had arrived, and Marcus, and that now they had joined the ranks as grandparents. Another joyous call was to come later when they announced to us that Sophie had been born. And we recall the excitement that Ruth felt because a granddaughter was now on the scene as well. Dale and I were vacationing down in Florida these past 10 days when we received a call from Mary Lou, Ruth's sister, telling us the news that Ruth had had a very serious heart attack and was in the IC unit at St. Michael's Hospital. Dale and I immediately went to prayer for Ruth and for the family. And our hearts were saddened, like all of you, when we received another call from Mary Lou on Sunday telling us the news that Ruth had passed away. As Dale and I began to try and process what had just transpired, we began to share memories of Ruth and of our special times together. Dale began to share with me that she thought Ruth was one of the most giving persons that she had ever met. Dale said, "I hardly ever wanted to mention I needed anything to Ruth, because no matter what the cost was to Ruth or the energy it would expend to make it happen, she would make sure that I had it." She just gave and gave and gave. Often, Dale said, "I know Ruth was so very, very tired, but that did not matter. At the drop of a hat, she left off what she was doing and just continued to look after everyone else." She also was the kind of person you love to have as a member of your church congregation. She would help and serve in whatever area she was needed, and was not only so willing to help, but also so very, very capable. And while we were in Barrie, I thanked the Lord she could play the piano. And she did that so well, and she helped with the children's work and did it so well. Everything that Ruth worked at was done with excellence. When we think of Ruth, we will always remember her generous spirit. She was the one who always wanted to treat you or buy you something like you thought you would really enjoy. She was just like that, always giving something away to someone to try and brighten up their day. How well we remember Ruth coming to visit and stopping during the evening to call this dear older lady back at Collingwood that she had become dear friends with, just to encourage her and to see how her day had gone. Dale said, "I once asked Ruth if she called this lady each and every night, even though it was long distance, and she said, 'Oh yes, she waits for my call.'" Both Ruth and Richard had that gift of generosity and shared what they had with whomever they met. Oh, Ruth's love for her family surpassed no one. She was so very, very proud of Mike and his family and all of their accomplishments, and loved to talk about all that Marcus and Sophie were involved in. Her love for her mom, Mrs. Jackson, and her care for her was evident to all, and also her dear love and care and devotion for Richard. Dale said, "When I think of Ruth, I will think of a dear friend who went out of her way to show love and kindness to all of us, to her family, to her friends, and to so, so many others. She cared so much, too, for our own three children, Mark and Julie and Steve and their families, and never ceased to ask how they were doing and what they were up to in their lives." And our son Steve just told us this the other day. He said that he had just posted a picture of he and his wife Allie and their two little boys just 2 days before Ruth had this heart attack, and she had responded, and at the bottom of the picture was Ruth's posting and her loving comments encouraging them to all the fun they were having with their boys that day. Ruth's love for her Lord was evident to all who knew her. Ruth wasn't one to talk of her faith too much to others. She just went ahead and lived it out. She had grown up in the church and came to know her Savior and her Lord early in life, and never deviated from that love. She knew she was a child of the King and that he held her in the palm of his hand. We know this would be Ruth's prayer for all of us here today, this, that we too would know how much we are loved, watched over, and cared for by our precious Lord and Savior. We who hold this same belief are comforted by the fact that we too will spend eternity with our Lord, and not only with our Lord and Savior one day, but also with our dear friend Ruth. Jim Elliot, a famous missionary to the Auca natives in Ecuador, who was martyred for his faith while there, once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Ruth was that type of person. She gave and gave and gave. She gave of herself. She gave of her worldly goods. She gave of her time and her energy. We are all a little better off for having watched such generosity and kindness in action. We love you, Ruth. Now safe in the arms of Jesus, you were a good, good friend, and we will see you again someday. We love you, Dale and Wayne. Now I would invite you to join us as we sing together, and we're just going to remain seated while we sing this number 506. Number 506, I'd Rather Have Jesus, another favorite song of Ruth. 506, just remain seated to sing. Now we want to hear some other special words of tribute. I'm going to call Jennifer Simpson if she would come forward. She's going to be sharing a special word from Pastor Barry Klink, who could not be here today. He's down in Florida, I think, at this time. And also some of her own personal thoughts and memories. Thanks, Jennifer.
It was with much sadness that we heard of Ruth's heart attack and subsequent passing. Over the past years, it has been an honor as her pastor to be able to speak and learn and grow with her, and to have both Ruth and Richard as members of their small Bible study group. Ruth's love and care for so many was deeply appreciated, and she will be greatly missed. It was just over a year ago that three couples, Ruth and Richard, John and Elaine Quance, and Barry and Bev Klink, celebrated their 45th wedding anniversaries together. Ruth has gone home to be with her Lord, and we are trusting that the God of all comfort will be present at the celebration of her life service today, and will bring peace and comfort to Richard, Michael, and his family, and the extended Jackson and Hunking families, and so many friends. We are so very sorry that we are not there with you today, but we are praying for you all. In his love, Pastor Barry and Bev Klink. Ruth and I have been friends for a number of years. I actually first met her in November of 2005. She was in our small group, and it was right before my youngest son was to be born. She had just retired for the first time and was a little at loose ends, having just moved into the area and trying to reestablish herself once again. After Matthew was born, she kept calling the house to see how we were doing and how we were settling in. And my husband and I joked a few times that that crazy lady from the church called again. He suggested that I invite her for lunch one day, and I am so glad that I did. We quickly developed a very close relationship. In those early years together, we passed many happy hours shopping and scrapbooking and sipping tea at Tim Hortons as we watched cars go through the drive-thru. One year, we even watched the Academy Awards together in our pajamas. And I remember this because I got stopped by a police officer on the way home for a burned-out taillight, and here I was in pajamas with pink glow-in-the-dark pigs. He was kind enough not to comment on my attire, and I quite appreciated that. Ruth was always an encourager, and she was very much a caregiver. She liked to introduce me to people as, "This is my daughter, Jennifer." And I would just quietly roll my eyes. She mothered me. She took great care of me when I had a miscarriage. She barged into the ER and said, "I'm her mother." And when they said I could go home, she took me to her home. And she made me eat and have a nap before I was allowed to go back to my own place. There was no arguing with her. She even delivered a Big Mac to me one time when I had the flu and I was craving it. She would do anything for us. Big, best Mac ever. Ruth kept her slippers at my house in the closet. She was just one of the family. My kids called her Grandma Ruth, and I think they still do. She was the kind of woman who would drop anything at any time to help a friend in need. Her door was always open. She was just a phone call away. She served in many areas in our church, including in the music, by playing the piano and singing in the choir. She was involved in helping with counting on Sunday mornings, and of course, children's ministries. She liked to lead them in music. She would spend so much time with them. She absolutely loved kids. She was Grandma Ruth to my kids, and she talked about Marcus and Sophie all the time. "I think I know more about your family than you would ever possibly know, but your secrets are safe with me." Ruth was creative, loving, generous, a willing servant, and a faithful friend. She was like a colorful thread in the tapestry of our lives. And though God has written her from our stories now, her love and her spirit has left an indelible mark. She was a social butterfly who loved to talk on the phone, and she did have many, many people that she kept in touch with on a regular basis, just to encourage them, just to say hi. When she was having a bad day, she would sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And though we will greatly miss her, we rejoice in the knowledge that she is safely in her heavenly home." Thank you.
Mike has asked me to read his comments today about his mom. It is said that the only true happiness in this life is to love and be loved. If this is accurate, then we can all take great comfort in the knowledge that my mother lived a truly happy life. Loving others, being helpful and caring, these were never efforts or obligations for Mom. They were internal imperatives. In fact, I think that the one simple truth of my mother's life is this: she loved people. Whether you were family or a friend, you were never unsure as to how she felt about you or just how much she really wanted you in her life. At times, this could be overwhelming. I'm an only child, so I understand this acutely, but the sincerity of her feeling and her dedication to those she loved was an enduring constant in all of our lives. She was the kind of person who held groups and traditions together. And again, I don't think it was out of any sense of obligation. She truly cherished the Christmas and Thanksgiving reunions, and her loss will be felt most acutely at these events she worked so hard to continue. This dedication to others made her the devoted daughter, devoted mother, grandmother, wife, and friend that we all loved, but it also made her the teacher that she was. In coaching, we love inspirational one-liners. Mike is a coach, okay? We love inspirational one-liners, probably because a single line is all that a coach can remember. But there's one coaching axiom that I think sums up Mom as a teacher. Nobody cares what you know until they know that you care. Isn't that precious? Mom exuded this caring that is so necessary to the real connections so vital as an educator. Last night, I had the opportunity to speak with many of her current colleagues, to a student that she was working directly with, and to read some letters that had been written by students in one of her current classrooms. In letter after letter, the students thank Mom for her kindness and her caring manner. In conversation after conversation with colleagues, they uttered the same phrase: she touched so many. Through it all, I kept thinking, she wasn't working. This wasn't just her job, it was her. She was doing what was bred in the bone. She was loving those around her and living her happy life. From your loving son, Michael. Now I think it's most appropriate that Sandra Jackson comes forward and she reads a special scripture that defines and relates all that we've been talking about, and I'll let her introduce it.
I really wanted to read for my Aunt Ruth, and I'm really hoping I can get through this. On behalf of all the grandchildren, we miss her already. She was really the glue of our family. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, family, for choosing that scripture to be read today. How appropriate. In recognition of honor and the celebration of Ruth's life. Easter is just around the corner. And one of the songs that is often sung at Easter time is The Old Rugged Cross. Verse 3 of that song goes this way. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross that Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Now for years, Ruth was able to sing that verse because of what Jesus had done in her life. But then on Sunday, March the 17th, 2019, Ruth literally lived out the experience of verse 4. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Now Ruth is experiencing the truth of the chorus, which reads this way. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for my crown. Yes, Ruth has experienced death and has now passed into eternal life to be with Jesus forever. And that's why I read at the beginning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And dear people, today, O grave, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Ruth has experienced death, and the fact of the matter is that there isn't one person in this room who at some point, sometime, will face the same journey that Ruth has already gone through. What is death like? What is before you and before me? I want to simply share three words this afternoon to talk about something that happens in the blink of an eye, in a millisecond. The first word that I want to refer to is the word separation, and then the next word is departure, and the third word is destination. All of these three happen in the twinkling of an eye, or in one breath. Here, and one breath there. First of all, separation. On Sunday, Ruth experienced the separation of her spirit and her soul from her body. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it tells us that on the fifth and sixth day, God created the birds, the fish, and the land animals. But when he went to create man, he did it differently. He didn't just create them, but he took some of the dust of the ground and he formed a body. And then he breathed into that human form his breath of life. And man became a living soul in the image of God. You see, by God's design, we are different than the animals in that we have three distinct parts. We are spirit beings. We possess a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. And we live in a body. And by God's design, our spirit and our soul will live forever. But our body will die and be resurrected at a later time when Jesus returns. The next time when you have breakfast and you have perhaps a hard-boiled egg, I want you to remember something. You see, we know that if I were to, this is hard-boiled, be assured, I wouldn't have it in my pocket if it wasn't. We know that if I take the shell off of here, that there will be two more parts that will appear, the white and the yolk. I have never yet eaten the shell. Have you? But the white and the yolk are the things that matter. Those two items are what make up the reason why we buy eggs, raise chickens, and all of that. With us, right here today, is Ruth's body. But Ruth is not here. We are honoring that body carefully. But we know Ruth is not here. Her spirit and her soul have already departed. Separation has already occurred. And in St. Michael's ICU, it was in the moment. Her spirit and soul were gone. You see, there is a caution to be understood by those of us who are alive and yet remain. Knowing this fact that the body is never going to be the part that we focus on as being living forever, what is so important is that how much time have you only given to the care of the shell, and you've neglected the spirit and the soul that lives forever? What have you done to prepare for this moment when your spirit and your soul depart from here? Which brings us to the next word, departure. You see, Paul, the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures, he wrote to Timothy in the last letter that he ever wrote. And he said this to Timothy. He said, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." How often have we said, and I even said it this afternoon, Ruth passed away. How often have we said that? Yet the word that Paul used was, he departed. He departed. You see, folks, it doesn't just end when the last breath occurs. It's just the beginning of an eternity. So that departure is so key. What is interesting as well is that the word departure in the Greek, where it was translated there, has several understandings to the use of that word. First of all, departure, it's the word that they would use to describe the unyoking of an oxen from the shafts of a cart or a plow? See, Paul understood that. And you know what's happened to Ruth? Death for Ruth has been like her release from all toil and the laying down of every burden. The second understanding of the word departure, it's the word for loosening of bonds or shackles. And that's what they would use to describe. They would use that same word, departure. So death for Ruth was the joyous liberation from the confines, the limitations, and the challenges of her weary body. The third one was, it's the word for loosening of the ropes of a tent. You see, for Ruth, death for Ruth has been the taking down of her tent in this life to travel to her new heavenly camp where there was a place to live already prepared. And I want you to know, it's not a tent. The scriptures talk about a mansion prepared. And the fourth way, the fourth translation, it is the word for loosening the mooring ropes of a ship from those huge posts on the dock. Oh, dear people, death for Ruth was leaving the harbor in this life here in Richmond Hill and sailing across the waters between this world and the next to arrive quickly and safely in the harbor of heaven. And so for Ruth, last Sunday at St. Michael's in the IC unit, she quietly and peacefully laid every burden down, breathed her last, and began breathing the full, precious air of heaven. Third word is destination. See, Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Heaven is real. There is a place already prepared. Paul said, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Paul went on to say in that same chapter in verses 8 and 9, we are confident, and I say I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. There is something that needs to be understood. This is where now there is a deviation that can occur. I've talked about separation and I've talked about departure. This is what all of us will experience. But dear people, destination is now critical. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is why our decision here determines our destination there. And Jesus knew that there were two places, heaven or hell. But he said, I don't want anybody to go there. I want everyone to come here. And he said, I will give my life on the cross, which we celebrate at Easter. I will lay down my life. I will even allow them to brutally kill me. But I'm going to rise the third day so that I can make sure that you will have opportunity to come into God's presence, all because of my shed blood to wash away your sin and to make you righteous in my sight. And I will be there to welcome you with open arms. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Destination. Ruth already understood that. And she decided to follow Jesus, make him her Lord and Savior. And he welcomed her into his presence. There's a definite place to go. It's a house in heaven and not built by human hands. There's no waiting space or state of nothingness, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there's one thing I want you to know right now, and especially family. Ruth did not travel alone. If you've ever wondered what happens at that point when the last breath occurs, those who love Jesus, who are believers, this is what is in store. Coming from the lips of Jesus himself, he shared a story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. And he shared the story about a rich man and a beggar. The rich man, he never did talk about his name or give us his name. But the beggar, his name is known as Lazarus. One fared sumptuously. The other one begged at his gate for something to eat. Now, this is not about the rich and the poor. This is about a believer and an unbeliever. Now listen, this is what Jesus said. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now listen, the rich man also died and was buried. What is so important to understand is that in this moment, when we are all feeling such an ache, and especially we miss Ruth, never, ever once was she forsaken by the Lord. And that's why a scripture that many of us are aware of, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Ruth never did walk alone. She had angelic escorts for her homegoing, because she was a believer in Jesus. Peter Marshall shared this story about a little boy named Timmy. Peter Marshall was a man who was a chaplain in the United States Congress there years ago. And he shared this story about a little boy named Timmy who was suffering from an incurable disease. His life on this earth was fast drawing to a close. And one day, he very quietly asked his mother, "Mom, what is it like to die?" Now his mother suddenly choked up with emotion. She quickly left the room to gain her composure, because she knew that her answer for Timmy would be very critical at this critical time. Quickly she prayed, "Oh God, please give me wisdom to give Timmy an answer." And when she regained her composure and she felt that she had something to say, she went back into the room and she said, "Timmy, do you remember how you sometimes would play all day and after supper play some more and then fall asleep on the rug? And then when you awakened in the morning, you discovered you were in your own bed upstairs?" Timmy said, "Yeah, I remember that. Tim, do you know how you got there?" He said, "I think I do, but tell me." She said, "Tim, your dad, with his big strong arms, would pick you up off that rug, and he would carry you upstairs and put you in your own bed. Timmy, that's what it's going to be like to die. Someday, Jesus will send his angels to pick you up in their strong arms, and when you awake, you will be at home in heaven." Well, on Sunday, March the 17th, Ruth experienced her homegoing, escorted by the angels into the presence of God's dear Son. I would be more than happy to share with anyone following the service if you have any questions concerning this very, very important event in every one of our lives. And I would love to share with you the hope that is found in Jesus. And that's why, in conclusion, it's great to be able to sing number 705, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I'm going to invite you, if you can stand, to stand with me as we sing verses 1 and 3 and 4 of this song. 705. Would you stand with me, please?
Yeah.
seated. I'm going to invite the funeral directors to come forward. Just want you to understand that the family will be gathering together to bury Ruth's body in the cemetery at Rob Roy up near Collingwood later this year in the month of May. But today we want to take a few moments to respectfully commit her body to the upcoming burial process that will be taking place. I want you all to also to understand that to this point, I have not mentioned what does happen to the body in all of this. You see, what is so amazing, which I find still hard to comprehend, is that there's coming a day for those that are believers when it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Their bodies are going to be reunited. Every morsel, everything, every molecule is coming together. And they will be made like that of Jesus. It's going to be an amazing event that's going to take place someday. So Ruth's body, even though it will be buried, someday it will be rejoined with her. And when you see her, you will know her because you will know her as she is. So now, dear people, there are some words that for Ruth already are obsolete to what she was familiar with here. What do we mean by obsolete words? We've come across many obsolete words already, like typewriter, 8-track tapes. Those of you that have gray hair, the Edsel car, or the steam locomotive. Believe it or not, even the dial telephone, all obsolete words now. Did you know that God has designed eternity in heaven so that some of the things we experience here on earth will then be obsolete? How do we know that? In the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the last two chapters, chapters 21 and 22, we discover that there are obsolete terms in heaven because they will forever be gone. Do you know that right now for Ruth, there's no more hunger, there is no more thirst, there is no more tears, there's no more death, there is no more mourning, no more crying, no more sun, no more moon, no more scorching heat, no more freezing cold, no more sorrow. No more sighing. These are all obsolete now for Ruth. With all of this in mind, Jesus said while here on this earth, "Oh, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." I'm going to ask you all to stand right now with me as we pray. And so today, inasmuch as it has pleased the Lord to welcome home Ruth Elizabeth Lougheed to be with the Lord forever and ever, we therefore commit her body to the ground in the Rob Roy Cemetery, earth to earth and dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And Jesus assured us when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you that you have indeed taken the sting out of death and the victory out of the grave through Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that which has happened already in Ruth's body and life, you have already taken care of all the details, and Ruth is now with you forever in your presence. And she awaits the day when those of us who know Jesus as Savior will be able to join her in that presence of our Savior and Lord with her. Lord, we thank you for that. Now we also realize that here on this earth, we need your grace and your presence. Thank you that you will go with Mrs. Jackson and with Richard and Michael and Jill and their family and every one of the Jackson and Lougheed families. You will never forsake them. You will indeed give them grace. And therefore we declare with confidence, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy, unto him be glory and power and majesty forever and ever. Amen.